In 1982, I was honored to play a small role in founding the Ludwig von Mises Institute, the world's foremost center for the study and promotion of free market economics in the tradition of the Austrian school. Through its programs and publications, the Institute has played a critical role in spreading the ideas of a free society, sound money, and peace. Its website, Mises.org, contains so many resources, lectures, courses, articles, and even whole books that you could spend a lifetime learning from it. I sometimes hear people say that they find economics boring. That almost always means they've never read the Austrians, whose work brims with intellectual excitement. Some people falsely believe that advocates of the free market must be opponents of the environment. We care only about economic efficiency, the argument goes, and have no regard for the consequences of pollution and other examples of environmental degradation. But a true supporter of private property and personal responsibility cannot be indifferent to environmental damage and should view it as a form of unjustified aggression that must be punished or enjoined or dealt with in some other way that is mutually satisfactory to all parties. Private business should not have the right to socialize its costs by burdening other people with the byproducts of its operations. Economist Martin Anderson puts it this way: dumping garbage on your neighbor's lawn is wrong, but pollution is really just another form of garbage. For that reason, proposals to charge pollution fees, which get higher the greater the pollution, neglect the demands of justice. Anderson compares it to taxing thieves as a way of giving them an economic incentive not to burglarize your home. If the practice is wrong, the law should treat it as such. If a firm creates pollution without first entering into an agreement, or if the parties cannot come to an agreement fixing the cost and degree of pollution, then the court system could be used to assess damages, says economists Walter Block and Robert W. McGee. In fact, that's how American law used to treat pollution. But a series of 19th century nuisance cases changed that. The court suddenly decided that a certain level of pollution could be allowed for the sake of the greater good. The implication was that if, for example, a few farmers had their property destroyed by passing trains, that was just the price of progress. Easy for them to say. These cases allowed private industry to invade the property rights of others and deprive those others of legal recourse. I do not see this as a free market outcome. I do not claim that pollution consisting of a few undetectable particles must be prohibited, or that no airplanes would have the right to travel high above people's homes. These are legitimate matters for the courts, where such matters have been properly decided in the past. Imagine if the previous legal approach to pollution had not been overturned, and the polluters continue to be legally liable for any such invasive practices. Block and McGee suggest that we would long ago have begun enjoying a non-pollution-intensive technology where there were no open-ended smokestacks. Instead, these pipes would have led back to chemical cisterns, the latter to capture otherwise errant soot particles. This approach would also have encouraged the growth of an environmental forensics industry that would allow us to identify those responsible for pollution by determining its exact source, just as DNA evidence now permits us to identify rapists and murderers. Campaign finance reform was the subject of fierce debate in America not long ago. Yet, the debate missed the point. As long as we have a government that can exploit peaceful, hardworking Americans on behalf of special interests, as long as it can make or break any American business with, for example, tax policy, politically motivated antitrust prosecutions, and ill-considered regulation, and in general, as long as economic winners and losers can be determined in Washington, people will want to assure their share of the loot by influencing the political process through money. Campaign finance reform focuses on the symptom rather than the cause. This is one reason I was so skeptical when friends urged me to run for president. There are far more interest groups lobbying in Washington for special benefits and privileges than most Americans can imagine. I do not oppose this one or that one, I oppose the whole apparatus, the whole immoral system by which we use government to exploit our fellow citizens on behalf of our own interests. For someone like me to win, there would have to be enough Americans who believed in freedom to be able to offset the combined power of interest groups that have grown accustomed to treating the people as a resource to be drained for private gain. Were there really enough people for that task?